Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, July 16th, 2026, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 52 in the chapter We Agnostics, and we are reading and discussing the second paragraph today. We have to ask ourselves why, through to Of Course It Was. Today's readers are Vanessa G, who will read the text, Tony B, A Vision for You, and Cara L is our backup. Chanel T is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, July 15th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,637. And for Thursday, July 16th, 7 a.m. Eastern, 23,639. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service. This is Rhonda R., a grateful member in Tennessee. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to do service.
Thank you, Rhonda, so much. I will now ask Patty F. to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Good morning, Patty. Star one to unmute Patty. Cara, can you step in, please? Patty might be having technical difficulties. 12 traditions of OA. Thank you.
Good morning. Yes, this is Cara. Just one sec.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. No problem. I'm just opening my page to the thing, so I get a delay. Okay, here we go. Sorry, guys. For the delay, the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility outside or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always to maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 52, the second paragraph, starting with, we had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply, through to, of course it was. And I will now ask Vanessa G. to please start reading and then share with us. Good morning, Vanessa, and thank you.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everybody on the line. This is Vanessa G., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. Okay, well, I'm grateful to be able to share on this paragraph this morning. The Big Book's full of lists. You know, Bill loves lists, and what a list this one is, right? I looked up the word bedevilment, and part of the description was that it describes the act of being tormented or plagued by continuous problems. And how true that was in my life, you know, to paraphrase a sentence in the doctor's opinion, you know, my problems piled up on me and became astonishingly difficult, and I would say in my case, impossible, to solve. So the list became not so much a list of problems, but rather a list of chronic symptoms of my disease, which in my case goes way beyond a simple addiction to certain foods or certain ingredients. You know, I have a disease that attacks my sanity. It warps and it twists my thinking, my attitudes, and then finally my behavior. You know, my life wasn't just unmanageable, it was negative and overwhelming, and I was negative and overwhelming. I suffered from a sickness of the soul. There was simply nothing left inside of me but just darkness. I needed a basic bottom line solution to all of it. I needed a miracle. And that's the opportunity you, my fellows, and this book offers me, a miracle that's found in the next chapter. If we follow the steps as outlined in that chapter, the bedevilments are replaced by the ninth step promises. And somewhere along the line, I think on one of the special editions, I heard someone read the bedevilments versus the promises. And it, I'm going to read that to you now. It says, only 31 pages later, after the bedevilments, they are replaced by the promises. So I'll read the bedevilment first and then the replacement promise. We were having trouble with personal relationships, replaced by we lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. We couldn't control our emotional nature. It's replaced by we will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. We were a prey to misery and depression, replaced by our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. We couldn't make a living, replaced by fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We had a feeling of uselessness, replaced by that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We were full of fear, replaced by we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us.
Time.
Almost done. We were unhappy.
Okay.
Replaced by we were going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Replaced by no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. And most of all, we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Vanessa G. in New Mexico. Okay, before we move on, if you came in halfway, we agnostics, page 52, the second paragraph, that's the one that we read, and that's what we're sharing on today, starting with we had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply, through to, of course it was. As a reminder, although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day, and this applies to both vision meetings, in order that others might share their experiences too. So what I need from you, please, is your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from today, so people can find you on the phone sheet, on the phone list.
I'm calling, calling from California.
Larry, hi.
Darcy A.
Okay. Was that Marcy
Lee?
A?
Darcy A.
Christina J.
Okay, hold on. Darcy A.
Tony B.
J. Tony B.
Leah R.S.
Leah R.S.
Nancy L.
Nancy L, you'll all have to say where you're from when you share, please. I'm just trying to jot down as many names as I can. I knew this would be a great paragraph. Who else
Carrie
would like
W.
to join this? Thank
Carrie
you, Carrie.
W.
Got you. Thank you. Anyone else, or we'll start with this list? All right, so I have Larry G, Darcy A, Christina J, Tony B, Leah RS, I believe, Nancy L, and Kerry W. So I know Larry is from California. And if the rest of you, I know where Christina's from. So, but when you share, please tell us where you're calling from. Larry, take it away. And everybody else, please mute their line. Thank you.
Susan. I don't know how you moderators do it, if there's a lineup of everybody talking at once. It's just a real skill. My name's Larry G, and I am from California. I normally share once a week, but shared on Monday, but I really wanted to do it again today because I just got back from 8 days in Key West, a very difficult situation with my elderly mother-in-law. And I have to tell you, without a vision for you, God, my beloved sponsor, your voices, I would have been eating my way up and down Key West and came back completely overwhelmed by these bedevilments. So thank you, Vanessa, for kicking us off. Vanessa gave us contrast to the bedevilments and the promises, and I hope that gives our new people on this call hope, but also want to say that there's a price to pay for that hope. There's a price to pay to have freedom and relief. At least that's my experience from these bedevilments. And that is, I have to embrace, I have to do something aggressive. I just can't go to one meeting a week or go to a nutritionist, you know, or do all the yo-yo dieting. I have to do something aggressive, which is to adopt this beautiful spiritual kit of tools. This way of life has become my way of life. God has entered in my heart, my soul, my mind. I came into a vision for you. It was like the bedevilments were like a blowtorch up my backside. What I like about our format is we get to read and study this, but it's really important that whatever I take from this call today, that I put into practice, because we talk about self-knowledge avails nothing. And what I'm learning today is this. This will happen again. This is a guarantee. I have proven it time after time again since 2000 when I came in OA. If I don't take certain steps each day, just like a diabetic has to take their medicine, if I don't take certain steps each day, which is to walk with God, trust God, clean house, and work with others, that's the formula. That's the big book in a nutshell, is trust God, clean house, and work with others. I will again, these bedevilments will become real in my life. And I don't know, I don't think I've got another one in me. This last time around, it was like a body blow. It was just awful. It was horrendous. And I came into vision for you, surrendered by the grace of God. And with that, I'll make this easy for you, and I will pass back to you for Susan. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry. Next, we have Darcy A. And Darcy, if you can tell us where you're calling from today. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Darcy A. from Washington State. Very grateful to be here. I'm a compulsive reader, recovered, bulimic, 100-pounder. My heart's pounding, so I'm a 100-pounder that's heart's pounding. But I'm very grateful to be on here. The bedevilments really were what was ruling my life. When I'm in the food, I'm suicidally depressed. I just feel like my husband and son would be better off without me. I just can't. There's no way I could have supported myself without my husband. I mean, I would wake up in the morning at 9 a.m. and be like, okay, I'm not going to eat today. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to do this. And then by, you know, soon, I was face down in the food. An almost 50-year-old woman making myself throw up. It was just awful. And I don't ever want to go back there. And I know I need a spiritual awakening. And that's the only thing that helped me to get out of this, that horrible state of, you know, I was completely selfish. What else? I was filled with anxiety and fear. And I'm going to a kayaking trip with 6 other women. And I leave tomorrow morning. And I was thinking about it. I couldn't have even fit in a kayak, much less felt like I wanted to be around other people. I was just consumed with my food and my own self-pity. And I'm just grateful that, you know, the other day my son was rubbing my shoulders just without me asking or anything. And he said, I hope you don't get sore on this kayaking trip, Mom. You know, and it's like the relationship I have with my husband and my son today is just completely different, and the relationship I have with the people at work is completely different. I have a job now that I love. I want to be of service at work. I don't want to be like, oh, that's not my job. I used to be like that, you know. Oh, I don't have to do that. That's, you know, that's not my job. But I don't feel that way today. You know, I really want to help. I don't want to be selfish. And that's a miracle. That's God. You know, I left to my own devices. I'm completely selfish. And, you know, with my other family members, you know, I want to be more helpful, you know, with my mom. Let's see, what else? I think that's all I have to say. I'm just really, really, really grateful for these steps and for my sponsor that helps me every day, taking
that's
my
time.
Food and my 10 steps. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Darcy A. in Washington State. Next, we have Christina J., who I think is also in Washington State. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Yes, indeed, from Washington State. You know, before today, before this book, even in the program, I had to learn that in the food or out of the food, my life is unmanageable. Out of the food and strict abstinence diets through the years, my life was unmanageable. But I thought it was manageable. I couldn't relate into this paragraph. My life is manageable. I had trouble with personal relationships, but didn't everybody? I couldn't control my emotional nature. Yes, I could. I just sucked it back and did autopilot numb. Did I have misery? Yeah, and depression. A lot of people did. I had all these things, you know, but you know what I did? I ate. When I would get really uncomfortable, I ate, and I didn't know why I was eating. The allergy was triggered, and I was off to the races. And one thing I have learned and thought about is that when I was a little girl, I ran to Mama, and Mama did everything for me for 5 years. She comforted me and all this stuff, but I still had an allergy back then, and there was discomfort in the house. But I had Mama, and I ran to Mama. Today, I have learned something crucial. I need to crawl to God when stuff bothers me, and I've had experiential moments of that. I wake up sometimes at 2 in the morning completely riddled with fear, unknown blackness in my mind, and recently, I have learned something very important. I get up. I walk the floor. I start praising my higher power. I ask him for help. And it takes a little while because I'm pretty riddled. And then I lay back down and I go to sleep. And I get in my chair in the morning. I crawl to God in a two-way prayer. God is the foundation. He's got to be. I have nothing else. His higher power is what I have. And it took me 11 years to get to this point. I've been in vision since 2015. Just in the last year and over time, my relationship has gotten deeper and deeper. This is the answer. It's a basic solution that I've carried around in my heart all of my life and didn't know it was there. The chamber door was locked with self, the misery of self. There was jail bars. I couldn't get in. I knew he was in there, this presence, this power, this love. And I finally got those jail doors open, and I didn't do it. God did it, but the food had to go away. Because the food's in the way. It's a block. It's a block. All the games I played with, well, I can eat this absent food. I can have, well, what's behind wanting to eat it? I'm not hungry. I got to go to God. This is my basic solution. It's here for everyone. It's right here. It's with you. And I didn't know that. And today I'm so grateful to be reveling in that solution, you know, and changing my point of view. I didn't know how to do that when I was in first place. I couldn't do any of this. I didn't know. What I had to do was take the steps, one step at a time. With a beautiful sponsor holding my hand, many sponsors, as a matter of fact, because I kept going back into relapse. And I loved every one of those relapses, not from the point of loving them, but I look back and I see that God was continuing to work with me through those because I wasn't reaching for the power that was within me and without me. It's not always perfect, and like I said, I got to get up and
That's
crawl.
That's time.
Thank you. I got to go back to the Father like the prodigal daughter. Love you all. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. in Washington State. Next, we have Tony B. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name's Tony B. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. And, thank you, Vanessa, for a wonderful lead and everybody who's shared. So, it's a great paragraph. And, you know, we changed our ideas as a race with regards to the modern scientific inquiry, progress and change. and, you know, with saying that, yes, I bet they'll land on the moon soon, and all of that, it kind of, it shifted. And what they're saying here is, you know, if we're agnostic or atheist, let's have an openness, let's have a readiness to change. And, you know, what's this basic solution? God, it's a power. You know, I couldn't change myself. I could not stop having trouble with my personal relationships. I couldn't do it. I couldn't control my emotional nature. I couldn't stop being a prey to misery and depression, or being fearful and unhappy of no real use. I couldn't do anything about it. It wasn't for want of trying. But I suppose the selfishness was fairly deep set, and I just couldn't do anything about them in the same way that I couldn't do anything about the food. But, you know, I come in here and I see recovered fellows, and it's right there in front of me, in the same way that, you know, the evidence is right there in front of them, that, you know, an aeroplane is flying, or, you know, a rocket is going to the moon. There it is. And, you know, I might not understand it, but it's a reality that lives are changed, that personalities are changed. And, you know, the point of view used to be, for me, that there's not a God, or certainly not a God who cares about me and can do miraculous changes to my personality and my perception and my focus, my purpose in life. And now it is shifted, and I have the belief that there is a God, and he can, and he cares enough to want to do those things. And it's an interesting phrase, you know, why we shouldn't apply. It's sort of suggesting we're doing something, but it's not. It's really saying, you know, the readiness to change our point of view and put our faith in a power greater than ourselves. And we're taking that position now. Okay, I'm willing to believe.
That's time.
Thanks, I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Tony B. in Scotland. Next, I hope I got this right, Leah R.S., and I'm not sure where you're calling from, but please come on the line and tell us everything.
Hi, this is Leah R.S. That's R as in red, F as in fancy, and I'm calling from Lodi, California. And thank you so much for your service and for everyone shares. I was absolutely plagued by the bedevilments when I came into this program. I've been in this program for a little over 3.5 years. I'm a 100-pounder. And when I got into this program, I absolutely recognized there was truth in it. I didn't understand everything being said, but I could just tell that I was home. And so I worked this program like my hair was on fire, and am recovered, but not cured today. But I was definitely plagued by the bedevilments prior to this program and coming in. I had moments of happiness, but overall my state was unhappy and discontent. And the things I had to do to have the moments of happiness were exhausting to me. It took so much energy. I was like a car trying to run on, you know, 3 spare tires and a flat. And it just wasn't working for me. And I absolutely had, you know, resentments in my relationships. I was estranged from my sister. Had resentments towards both of my parents. Had some low level, at least, resentment towards everyone I knew, and why, you know, they had done me wrong in some sort of way, even if I had a relationship with them. And what's interesting is as I worked this program, all of those relationships healed. My perception on those things changed. My sister and I have the greatest relationship we've ever had. My parents and I have the greatest relationships we've ever had. And it's the same with everyone around me. And what's funny is none of them changed. None of them did anything different. I'm the one who did something different. I was the one who was plagued with these bedevilments. And I really did want to be of use. I really wanted to, you know, be of use in this life, but I didn't know how to even go about that. And I remember standing in my backyard, just extremely morbidly obese, wanting to connect with people, wanting to figure out how I could be of use to others, but just not even understanding the first thing to do about that. And so OA has really helped me in that I have a relationship with my higher power now, but that had to be reworked as well. For me, you know, I'm not a religious person, and I couldn't turn my life and will over to what I perceived as kind of a like an angry sky daddy that was just waiting to punish me and strike me down. And so I had to make space for a her in my higher power as well. You know, I have a heavenly mother. I have a heavenly father. Thank you so much. And I'm just so grateful to have that relationship with both of my heavenly parents today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah, in Lodi, California. Next, we have Nancy L. Good morning, Nancy.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you, Susan, for moderating this morning. Nancy L. in Arizona, recovered 100-pounder by God's grace and mercy. Oh, talk about making a living. We couldn't make a living. Well, I would boast about, yes, I was a dental assistant for 11 years. But little did anybody know when I would be boasting about that, that I worked in 11 different offices for 11 different dentists for 11 years. Why? Because I was always looking for greener grass. I just wanted a job that would suit my needs. And my needs were a lot. I really wanted to be catered to. I wanted to make good money. I was never in a job long enough to get a raise. So, you know, finances were always really tight, and so was my personality. I was very unhappy and just couldn't, you know, it says here, we couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Well, that was because I was always looking for other people to help me. And, you know, I got married at 23 and moved out of my mom's home where she paid for the food and paid for the utilities and paid for the rent. I paid for none of it. Then I got married. Now my husband was taking care of Nancy some more. So I was just constantly searching for that rainbow and realizing finally when I got in the rooms that a lot of it was all about me and my attitudes and my desire. Where was my desire for more food, more numbing out? And it was not working. It was killing me. But thank God not today. I'm so grateful for my freedom from the compulsive overeating. Am I an addict? Yes, I am. I always will be. But I am not one in action. I'm not diving into the food anymore. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. in Arizona. Next, we have Carrie W. Are you in Wyoming today, Carrie?
Hi, Carrie W. I'm on California on the list, but I'm currently in Montana. And good morning, Susan. Good morning, all my fellow compulsive overeaters. I love this paragraph. I'm like, oh, this is such a good one today. And I can't believe I lived in the bedevilment for so long. I was thinking that, you know, I only have one life to live. You know, I don't want to live in the bedevilment. You know, I lived there for 50 years and I had no idea how to have healthy relationships. You know, it says we were having trouble with personal relationships. Like, I had no emotional control. You know, I was always depressed or having a panic attack. You know, it was just such a mess and I didn't know how to relate with people. And I don't know, you know, I think I don't know where it comes from, but it was a miserable way to live, and I'm so grateful that I found this program and that I can learn to live in the promises. I really liked that the leader shared how it related to the promises. That was really beautiful, and I guess I hadn't realized that before, and that's true. Those promises, you know, by working through this program, the promises have come true for me. I still have some I'm still growing, you know, in some of the areas, especially the financial insecurity and people. Those seem to be my ones that get me. But I'm so proud of who I am most of the time. You know, I always need to grow, and sometimes I get off the beam, but I have all the tools now that you guys have taught me to get back on the beam so I can be aligned with my higher power and create a life around me that is happy, joyous, and free. You know, instead of miserable, depressed, and useless, now I'm happy, joyous, and free, all by just going through these steps. And, you know, I keep going through them over and over. Different things get revealed, and I've realized, yeah, it's all me that's creating the life around me. I make the decisions. I decide how I want to feel. You know, I decide how I want to treat other people. When I get healthy, my world around me got healthy, you know. And what a beautiful thing to not have to live the rest of my life. Hopefully I'll live to 100, and then I'll have 50 years of living in the promises, because I don't want to go back. And I'm just really grateful that I got this, you know. And thanks for letting me share.
Time.
Thank you for letting me share. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carrie. All right, we have more time. So again, today we're discussing page 52, the second paragraph, known as the bedevilments. And if this is your third day to share on either vision meeting, what I need from you is your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from this morning. Who would like to
Jennifer,
share their thoughts with us?
Jennifer G, California.
Avi, New Jersey.
California. Okay, now three of you spoke after Jennifer.
Avi, New Jersey.
Thank you. And who else came in with Avi?
Michelle. Kaylee O, New Jersey.
Michelle, and then is it a Shelley I heard or just Michelle?
Kaylee O, New Jersey.
Kaylee O, New Jersey.
Lorraine
okay.
W, Massachusetts.
All right, let's stop there because we might run out of time. So if I have this right, I've got Jennifer G, Avi, Michelle, Haley, and Lorraine. I heard Jennifer from California. Avi's in Canada. Michelle, I didn't hear where you were from. So when you share, please let us know. So if everybody other than Jennifer G in California could mute their line, off we go. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you. Hi, this is Jennifer G from California. And I actually have this whole paragraph highlighted. And then I wrote on the side of it, I've missed decades of my life. I was trying to control the uncontrollable. And then I wrote, I was a chameleon. So the one good thing about missing decades of my life, as my sponsor told me recently in the last couple of months, that absolutely everything has happened to me for a reason, good and bad, so that I have a message to carry to forward. And so, you know, I have conversations with people. What that looks like is I can see me too, and how that was overcome. And it was overcome working these steps. For me, the fourth step was so eye-opening for me. And I've been here a little bit over 3 years, when I realized the first time I worked through the steps, that there was really an emptying of myself. I thought I knew so much. I was, like my husband used to say, the smartest tool in the shed. And to break that down and really empty myself so God could fill me up with those things that he wanted to fill me up with, so that I could be useful to other people. My sponsor today will say to me on a 10th step, what is my fear? And I have trouble identifying feelings. What am I feeling? Because I went through my whole life not feeling my feelings, but going to the food or going to something else other than the food. What is my fear? Oh, she always says, what is your fear? And then she says, what is your real fear? and I look at the bedevilments, and it helps me to identify what my real fear is. Always I'm depending on myself and not my higher power. Always, always, always. So I could talk for hours on what this program has done for me, working the steps, living the steps, sponsoring, helping others, growing in spirituality. I'm so amazed and so grateful to have this program, and I'm learning. I'm still learning. I hope I'm learning until the day I leave this planet, that I have an open mind, and that I'm working these steps, living these steps. I live these steps. And so really doing 10 steps and identifying uncomfortableness is new. But I keep doing it every day. Okay, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jennifer G. in California. Next, we have Avi. Avi, come in and join us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan, for moderating. This is Avi, grateful recovering compulsive overeater in Vancouver, Canada. And more than anything, I'm just checking in. 3 weeks ago, I was in the middle of another horrific, horrific relapse. And, you know, when we say the disease is out in the parking lot doing push-ups, oh, wow, yes. You know, the last couple of binges have been more horrific than anything I've ever experienced. And I've shared a little bit in this meeting about what that was like. And I think it's important to be honest about these things. It's important not to hide behind the shame, because there is no shame. We're compulsive overeaters, period, end of story. And I'm unapologetic about that. But the difference today, and this is like in 3 weeks, it amazes me, because I have absolutely let go. And I've had so many discussions with my sponsor about this, you know, about knowing, absolutely knowing unequivocally, this disease will take me out and put me on my knees, and there's God, there's always God. And what an incredible, warm, loving feeling that is. And things have happened, and that is God throughout these 3 weeks showing me, you know, it's like a full cup can't take anything else. So I have to empty that of all of my past ideas and thoughts that I can do this, to make room and invite God in. I love this last line here, right? Was not a basic solution to these bedevilments more important? Of course it is. To me, God is everything. And yet it is in our 12 and 12, you know, God is either everything or God is nothing. I know how to be a chameleon. I know how to say things well. I've been in recovery for 35 years in another program. I can talk the talk, but it's like there's something about feeling God in every fiber of my being, and the lightness that brings, the light and the love and the ease. And the thing is, everyone around me has gotten so much more beautiful. They haven't changed. They haven't changed. It's me. Me. I've shown up completely without reservation, and I'm doing what God tells me to do today. And I love this program. And oh my God, do I ever love Vision. So thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Avi. All right, moving right along. We'll see how much time we have left. Next, I have Michelle. Michelle, I didn't get your last initial or where you were calling from, but come on in and join us.
Thank you very much, Susan, and thank you for your service. I am Michelle S., as in Sam, in California. And I've been in and out of 12-step programs, several different food programs, for over 20 years. Well, when I was a teenager, probably longer than that. In Visions for April was 3 years, so a little over 3 years, abstinent, recovered, grateful. And I've read the big book cover to cover, lots, you know, hundreds and hundreds of meetings, and I have never heard the bedevilments compared to the promises. And I got to tell you, this is like an eye-opening for me. I definitely was in bedevilments before recovery. If I chose to pick up the food, it came right back, absolutely doing push-ups in the parking lot. And when I choose recovery and I stay absent, the promises do come true for me. And I'm just, I'm having like a God moment, eye opening. I've never compared the devilments to the promises. And I'm just like, if somebody had said it in a meeting or it was brought up to me in the past, I didn't hear it. So hearing it today, I am just so grateful. I'm just like, this big book surprises me all the time. I'm continuously learning from this big book, no matter how many times I read it, how many times I study it, how many times visions go through it. I hear something new almost every day, and this one was a big one for me. So thank you so much, and I'm passing.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Next, we have Haley O. in New Jersey. Good morning, Haley.
Hi, can you hear me? This is Kaylee from New Jersey.
Yes, sorry, Kaylee. Yes, go ahead.
No problem. That's C-A-L-U-I-O from New Jersey. I really appreciate you taking the meeting. I haven't shared in a little while. I really like what was said, what was touched on about the bedevilments and how, like, what was shared that, like, no matter, like, for me personally, my experience is, like, I can fall into the bedevilments every day if I'm not, like, very clear about, like, what I need to do in my program. The first question, I guess it's like a statement / question. We had to like I have to ask myself, I'm putting in the first person, why I shouldn't apply my problems with the same readiness to change my point of view. And I was just on this meeting for the past like couple of weeks, like since the last time I shared, like listening to We Agnostics, and like it really hit me that like I really need to be like, it's just not going to work. Like, I'm just not going to get, like, the picture when I sit down across, like, until I'm ready, I'm not going to really hear anything in We Agnostics. I'm not going to hear anything in any part of this book until, like, my, like, you know, John Barleycorn, like, my great persuader, the food, like, until that really, like, brings me to the point like where I don't have anywhere else to turn, like, and even then it's funny, like even at that point, then when I'm reading this book, I'm still like skeptical. Like that's just like how my brain works. Like I would rather be going to the loving arms of the food, which is killing me and putting me in these bedevilments, than to like actually get uncomfortable and like actually put down the food and work the steps. And like now at this point, when I fall into the bedevilments, like I just know what I need to do. I'm not happy about it. I'm not jumping up and down, like praising God that I have to do this, but like it just works. And like steps 1 through 3, like they work for me every day, and like I have to do it. Like I almost have to work the steps every single day. So for anyone who's out there listening and like hasn't done it, like eventually, like it's just going to become clear. Like that was my experience. Like I just, thank you. I just woke up and like I just knew I needed to do it. So, and thank God for that. So, and thank God for this meeting as well.
Thank you
so much. And I pass.
All right. We've run out of time. I'm sorry. So, Lorene, come back tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for your service. Vanessa, Tony, Cara, Chanel, Leslie, Rhonda, Patty, please stay on with Chanel and Leslie, especially if you need a sponsor or are an available sponsor. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Tony B., will you please read A Vision for You for us? Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come, if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.